Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, everyone, here we are in our chairs in the studio for Go Yard again tonight. And we are live in the Tampa Bay area, as we usually are. And so if you would like to call in and get involved on tonight's show, we welcome you to do that. 727-441-3000 is the call-in number. And with me is my co-host, the amazing Dr. Angel Falzone. I did not go on and on and on.
No, you did good.
I know, just the amazing, because you are amazing. And we've been having so much fun on this show for the last year and a half, and can't even believe that we've got that many shows already finished and on our website and for people to hear.
I know.
Tell them about the website and what they can do about that, because that's really a cool thing.
You know, the website is amazing because it's, you know, all the shows are there. They're chronicled, you know, and as we go through different topics, you know, you might not be facing that topic this week.
Right.
But in 6 months from now, that topic might be very valuable to you. And it's a great source of support and ways to help you get through some of those difficulties or just find some help and find some resources.
And really, we encourage you to write down the website address, which I'm going to give you here in just a second, so that you can give that out to friends that are going through difficult things. Because this is a life coaching show, isn't it? It's like having a counseling session and not paying for it, right?
True. And the website is like a year and a half of chronicled sessions.
And there's tons of them there. GoYard2014.org. It's not a .com. It's a .org. GoYard2014, because that was the year we began. GoYard2014.org. Any shows you missed, at the end of each month, our webmaster goes and puts them all on our website. So we stay current, pretty current, maybe a couple weeks behind, but we're pretty current and really want people to go check out the shows and do something about that, right?
Yes, we do. And use that resource because it's a really valuable tool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to get involved in this show tonight one more time, you can call in live. We're on the air live in the Tampa Bay area right now, as usual. 727-441-3000. Pete's in the studio, in the control room. We're in the studio. He'll be glad to push your call right through to us with any questions or comments on the topic we're talking about tonight. Also, the Google text number that we have works 24/7, 365. So if you're one of the audience members that listen to our shows on the weekends on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, which would be at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday of every weekend, and that's four words, so write it down somewhere, StarcomRadioNetwork.com, at noon Eastern, both Saturday and Sunday, you can hear this show we're doing live tonight this weekend. So you can also tell friends about that, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So if you are one of those listening, no, you won't be able to call in live right now if you're listening on Starcom, but you can Google text us and one of us will respond to you. And that is 727-888-4171. What about Facebook, Doctor?
Oh, come on Facebook and like us. That would be Go Yard 1340
on Facebook. Yeah, go there and like us. And we are trying to get more time to put more on there. And
we are.
Our lives are pretty crazy, aren't they, Doctor? You are full-time working with many, many therapists under you, and besides three kids, and one's in the Army, so that's a big thing, right?
That is a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. And me with a real estate career and also pastoring a church and doing another radio show on Sunday. We keep very busy, don't we?
We sure do.
But we love doing this show. It's like a highlight in our week, isn't it?
so energizing.
We were talking about it yesterday, you and I at lunch, and we were talking about how much fun it still is for us. I mean, it's only been a year and a half, but still, we love doing these shows because we feel like we are catching, we're doing topics that affect everybody out there in one time or another in your life, right?
Absolutely. We want to keep it relevant and we want to keep it real.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, this is part three of this series, all about addiction. And if you missed part one or part two, which was the last 2 weeks, right now those are still here on in the radio station on the podcast page. That's where you can find them. And that is www.tantalk1340.com. Go to the podcast page, go down to Go Yard, and there they are. Catch up. And then at the end of the month, they will be put on our other website. So in the meantime, for those that have missed, say, for the last 2 weeks, can you just give us a brief synopsis of what we've been trying to accomplish?
Wow, this has been a huge undertaking, all about addiction. So we have been looking at addiction as a whole. So we have talked about chemical addiction.
Right.
We have talked about prescription drug addictions.
Right.
And we have talked about behavioral addictions, like
yes.
gambling and pornography and all shopping and all types of behaviors that can be addicting. And last week, we really talked about relationship addiction, which is also called codependency. And tonight we're going to kind of take that relationship addiction. We're going to look at it a little more because
it didn't get done, did we?
We did not. It's pretty complicated and intricate.
Yes.
But it's a really important factor when we're looking at addictions because a lot of times things that feed the person who may have chemical addiction or drug addiction or behavioral addiction, there's a person in their life that has relationship addiction.
Exactly.
And so these two types of addictions feed each other and kind of create the problem to be ongoing and difficult to kind of stop.
And can be a lifelong problem. You know, a lot of people have heard the term codependency and do not possibly understand it, but when we call it relationship addiction, which it is, I think that really helps people understand it better, don't you, Doctor?
It does. And so last week we kind of like outlined what it was, some of the things it looks like, and tonight we're going to take it into some of the characteristics that we might see or the behaviors, because it's a huge topic to talk about and it's a word that people may not really understand and
right.
get what it really looks like. And so we're looking for that help and that hope. And so we're going to take it over to just identifying those characteristics. But also, we want to talk about how do we overcome this?
Yes.
How do we get out of it?
Yes. So stay tuned and stay with the show because we are going to talk about how to handle this, how to overcome it. And, you know, I want to ask you a question here, Doctor, right at the very beginning. Is everybody codependent?
No.
Okay.
Not everybody is codependent.
All right. So you are codependent if, you want to finish that sentence?
We are codependent. If we are putting other people's health, happiness, welfare, and safety above ourselves.
Right.
That's when we're at risk to lose that contact with our own emotional needs, desires, our sense of self.
So it's, we're codependent if we have to
mm-hmm.
try our best to help that person. I mean, we're driven almost, right? We've got to do that. We've got to. And that person, of course, the one we're codependent with, will be sure and let us know that we are so needed in their life and they can't live without us, right?
Absolutely. And here's the thing with codependency is that it's hard sometimes to recognize because there are good motives and altruistic means
right.
that appear to be behind it. I'm helping
yes.
someone.
Right.
What do you mean, Dr. Angel? You're telling me this is a bad thing for me to do.
Right. But, you know, there's everything in balance in life, right?
Yes.
Isn't that really what life is about? Learning how to balance our work life, our personal lives, our family lives, you know, rest, recreation, diet, exercise. Isn't life, Dr. Angel, about learning balance?
Well, healthy life.
Healthy life is about balance, right?
Absolutely. And so when something's out of balance, something's not healthy.
And it's been my experience with codependent people in the past that this is totally out of whack a lot of times, that there is such an overwhelming need to meet the needs of the person who is so needy, Mm-hmm. It's a lot of needs in that sentence. But there's such a, the codependent person is just wants to help so much. And they're just like, oh, I just got to, you know, and they'll do all kinds of things, go out on limbs for people that really, and it ends up hurting them. It comes back and hits them in the face.
And it does, and it's kind of that overly helpful. So we're helping other people so overly helpful that we're actually hurting ourselves and them in the process.
Right. Yes.
And so what we're doing is we are interfering with that, the natural law of reaping and sowing.
That's exactly right. And some people who may not know that biblical reference, do you want to explain that concept?
Well, it's just basically, it is what it sounds like. We reap what we sow. And so when we are sowing in negative behaviors, like through addiction, and we're like using the money that we need to spend for our personal responsibilities to buy drugs or alcohol or for gambling, and then somebody comes in and pays our rent, we aren't sowing
exactly
what we reaped.
That's
and
right.
And so it makes it more
we're
challenging.
We're not reaping what we sowed.
Yeah, sorry, I got it backwards.
You got it
backwards. I've been on the opposite for weeks now.
but there are a lot of people who are rescuers. There are people,
yes.
And there are probably audience members tonight who would say, well, I've got to help my daughter. She can't get out of this mess by herself. I mean, she's been addicted for so long, you know. And I got to rescue her. I got to go pay all this off. I got to bail her out of jail. On and on and on.
Absolutely. And so there's a people pleasing mentality,
uh-huh.
Which we do hear that phrase a lot.
People pleasing.
It is. You know, we want everyone to
be happy
and like us.
Right.
And so that kind of is part of what feeds some of this codependency.
Right. Yes. Well, I want to ask you a couple questions about relationships, because last week we really majored more, I think, in the codependency discussion, more about family relationships, friend relationships, the people that get into a dating type relationship or are married to a person where it's a very codependent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You can, after time goes on, there can be such mixed feelings in that relationship, right? It's almost like I love you, I hate you.
It can be that way. Maybe not all the way to that extreme, but that push-pull definitely can be there.
Right.
And they become very, they're so unhealthy, they become toxic after a while.
Right, right.
Absolutely. And a lot of times that the relationship either stays very toxic and both people are suffering, or the relationship dies and fizzles.
Right.
Because it just gets, and it grows in toxicity. And especially when we're talking about a marriage relationship, because that's a lot more intimate.
Right.
Than other relationships. But it can, and that's the thing with codependency, is it is not under a rule abound of what relationship this could be in.
And we want to stress that tonight. It's not just about a marriage or a dating situation. In fact, it goes across every area in
any
our lives, right?
Absolutely.
Parents and kids and grandparents and kids and
siblings and friends.
Oh,
and
my heavens.
It can definitely go in a lot of ways. And so one of those characteristics that really kind of define codependency is when I have this exaggerated sense of responsibility for the actions of someone else.
Oh, I like that. Or that really helps explain it. Okay, let's say that one more time. An exaggerated sense of
responsibility.
So let's say I'm the codependent person and this friend just keeps, you know, making mistakes and using drugs, let's say, and now is out of money and can't pay their electric bill. They're going to lose their electricity and the water's going to be shut off and blah, blah, blah. And I just think it's my responsibility. Okay, she's my friend, or he's my friend, or he's my daughter, or she's my daughter, I mean, or my son, or whatever the case may be. And so I've just got to bail him out of this mess.
Absolutely. And so that person in codependency just feels like, I have to do this because, well, my grandchildren are going to suffer, or
that's
someone
right.
else is going to suffer because of these behaviors. And I love them. And if you love someone, you don't want to let them hurt.
Right.
And so
this must be my responsibility.
Absolutely. And they'll even help others to the extent of not being able to take care of their own responsibilities of their life. And so maybe that means they're paying their own rent later, not able to keep up with their own stuff, which causes a lot of stress.
But I've seen this, and we just had a situation that I know about recently in the last few weeks, where a person actually went to an extreme to help a person get a mortgage. I think I mentioned it last week, because
mm-hmm.
I'm in real estate. So this person went to an extreme, cashed out her life insurance policy, took $30,000 so that and gave it to her daughter so that her daughter could then get a mortgage. So obviously her credit was terrible in order to put down $30,000 on a $100,000 house. I mean, that's bad credit. But the payoff is the mother-daughter relationship is closer, in their opinion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because now you need me.
Yeah, you need me. I bailed you out. And you better be siding with me on any kind of issues in the family because I bailed you out, right?
True. And that's where we're talking about that toxicity can come
yes.
in. Because relationships now are being based on what you can do for me.
Right.
And for the codependent, it's about getting that recognition and feeling loyalty. Because part of being codependent is I don't want to be by myself. I don't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need people to be in my life. And so what happens is they become this magnet for people who have needs.
Right. Yes. It is a magnet, isn't it?
It is.
There is a pulling towards people. It's almost like the victim, how do we say this? The person with the needy one, mm-hmm. the needy one, sends out some kind of radar. Of course, that's not true, but I'm just trying to get people to think about how this happens. And they can almost feel a codependent person that can come to the rescue. You know what I mean?
True. And
I don't think I'm articulating it very well.
What I also have noticed is that when somebody is codependent, it's usually not limited to just one relationship in their life.
Right.
They tend to find these attributes and characteristics in lots of their relationships.
Right.
Because the core is I need to be needed.
That's the core of the codependent person.
Of the person and codependent.
Right.
And then the person who is attracted to the codependent has the needs, usually we have some kind of underlying thing going on, like addiction, like substance abuse or behavioral addiction, where they're constantly needing to be bailed out and rescued,
bailed out. Absolutely.
But it's not only limited to substance and behavior addictions, because sometimes people might have some mental health things going on, personality disorders going on, and they have lots of needs and are looking for that
tons of
to
needs.
Them.
Absolutely. And so let's go on with your characteristics. So the first one you said was an exaggerated sense of responsibility for the actions of others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a red flag. If you are one of those that is always seeming to find people who need you.
Yes.
To bail them out or to ease their pain or to give them, $100 for their latest fix, whatever it might be, or they can't pay their credit card bill because they way overspend on something else ridiculous. If you are that kind of person that need to be needed,
there, you might be a codependent.
Reminds me of what we did that time on Rednecks, remember?
True story. But part of that is that when you are making kind of, you're justifying that you're doing this for someone else too. And so look at some of your own motive. When I'm offering help, am I just offering help as this altruistic, realizing that they may or may not be able to pay me back or, to make this a balanced relationship in some way? Or am I offering them help because I'm needing to be needed?
Exactly.
And it's a lot of times they do it and make an excuse like, oh, well, the kids are going to suffer or someone else is going to suffer.
Absolutely. That's what a lot of codependents
do. Look at that. So if you have excuses behind it, that's a flag.
Absolutely. That's a flag. And so often, they use some other situation in the family to justify helping the addict, let's say.
Or whoever,
whoever it is. And so they say, oh, well, I can't, they can't sit in jail like that. No, it's miserable conditions there,
Exactly. And so that kind of leads into this tendency to confuse love and pity. So what happens is with the tendency to love people that they can pity.
Aha.
Ah. So if I can pity you, that means I can rescue you. Then I'm confusing that feeling of love.
You said a word right there that I wanted to bring out in this show, rescue, because I really believe that is a big part of what happens with codependent people when they end up finding somebody that they need to help desperately.
Yes.
It's a need to rescue. It's
There's
a
lot of rescuing.
They should just join the Coast Guard.
And rescuing can look like so many things. So it can be financially we're rescuing someone.
Right.
It could just be that we're covering their back or doing... It could be with a coworker doing some of their job.
Yes.
Hiding the fact that something is going on so other people don't know.
Right.
So rescuing could look like a lot of things. It could be making excuses for someone.
Right. Lying.
True. And so... That is one of the core things that we are confusing love with pity.
And I just talked to a friend of mine this week that had somebody in her office, and this kind of thing that you just brought up here, doing somebody else's work,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is not uncommon.
No.
There are a lot of people that waste time or just they're on, you know, their phone or whatever they're doing, and then some codependent person will bail them out because they have something due. Okay, let me help you. We'll get that done. You know, I'll help you.
True. You know, we just had a question on our question and answer show that kind of really fit in this with the coworker situation.
Oh,
yes. One person was getting, you know,
that's
taking
right.
the work of
yeah.
other people and then feeling very frustrated by that. And that's, there you go. There's some
there you
flags.
Go.
When you're starting to feel frustrated, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when
right.
you're doing more than what you're supposed to do. And the thing is the whole heart of codependency is not having healthy or looking and knowing what a healthy boundary is.
Right.
So when we don't know what we're responsible for, we can easily take on things that aren't our responsibility as if they were.
But a lot of times there is a payoff. Don't you think? I've heard you say, doctor, on this show that there's always a payoff somewhere, right?
A payoff.
I want you to explain that because that really applies in codependency, in my opinion.
Well, and the payoff is that I'm feeling valued because
yes,
I'm needed.
I'm needed. And everybody is going, oh, you wonderful thing for bailing her out of jail again.
How could you be going through this?
It's so hard on you. This has got to be terrible on you. And I've had those choices in my life in different situations and family members and had the opportunity to bail people out.
Mm-hmm.
I have. And I can honestly tell you, doctor, I've never bailed anybody out ever out of jail. Okay. Had the opportunity, had family pressure, had, you know, oh, well, you know, this just isn't good, whatever, whatever. And honestly, we can't start doing that, right? Because that's going to take a slippery slide right down to being very involved, more involved than you want to be.
True. And so this is where there's a fine line between helping and being codependent. And so when you're continually having to help and rescue, that's where you're looking more at codependence. Sometimes people just, they need a hand. They get stuck.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Something happens.
Totally
and
different.
And we're not saying we can't help others.
Right.
We're saying there's a difference between occasionally somebody needing a little hand or a little extra help or a little extra support. That's
right.
life.
Absolutely.
To somebody's always having some kind of need.
Right.
All
always.
The time. Lots of them.
I want to make a comment before we go to the break here in a minute, because one of the songs we're going to do is talking about I love you, I hate you. Okay. And isn't that a problem that occurs in this type of codependent thing? Let's say in a boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, whatever. It's like you really love them, but you can develop those feelings of hatred or just feelings of resentment.
It's resentment more
bitterness.
Than hatred. Yes, because I'm taking more responsibility. So now I'm always the one stressed. I'm always the one overwhelmed. And
right.
But I need you. I love you. And I need this relationship to make me feel valuable. But at the same time, I'm resentful for having to do this all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So that might make more sense to our listeners why we're going to play that song. Go for it, Pete. And we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to talk about today on Go Yard.
Then I started to realize I was living one big lie. She hates me. Just she fucking hates me. Love. I tried.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexus products. Marshamcallister.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marsha McCallister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marsha today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marsha McCallister at 727-417-0707.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Love it, Pete. All right. I love you. I hate you. I can't live without you. I love that.
That was perfect.
Bring a little rock to the mix here.
Hey, yeah. Thank you. You're great.
Thank you.
You know what? That's just a perfect song for what we were just talking about, that so often this codependent relationship ends up starting out maybe great and, they need me so much, whatever. And then it just turns sour after a period of time, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it becomes very toxic and can turn very ugly.
Yeah.
And as we're talking about those characteristics of codependency, so we're trying to give it that broad spectrum look so
right.
that you can look and see, are these some of the things that I'm feeling or I can recognize in some relationship in my life?
Exactly. So there is a tendency for this rescue concept, right?
There is absolutely a tendency for this rescue concept. And then there's this tendency to become hurt when somebody's not recognizing what you're doing for you.
We just mentioned that before the break.
And
yeah.
we did. And so when you are feeling hurt, oop, flag. Let's start looking at what's behind that hurt.
Exactly. And, I've heard so many people say, but I've done this for her. I've done that for her. I did this. I bailed her out of jail. I gave her a place to live. I paid her a rent, blah, 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 blah. And if you find, this is another one of those you might be statements, if you find that you've got a person like that in your life that you've done all this for and you find yourself thinking or saying, but I've done this, I've done that, and look how they repay me. They're in jail again. You might be a codependent.
Absolutely. You know, and it's that need for approval and recognition. So
right.
look at what's happening when you are feeling hurt.
Yes.
Through
yes.
your relationships. You know, a codependent person will do almost anything to keep a relationship.
Oh.
And they don't, they're trying to avoid that feeling of, you know, rejection or being alone feeling abandoned. And so they will go to a lot of lengths.
Right.
And that is where it can become very physically and verbally aggressive.
Yes.
I've watched a lot of these can spin into domestic violence.
Absolutely.
Because it can really grow depending on how deep the codependence need is.
And don't you think, and while we just mentioned this, we've done shows on domestic violence, but it's interesting to me that domestic violence creeps up in a lot of our shows because the underlying problem here feeds into a kind of like an opportune moment for domestic violence because one person is rescuing all the time, bailing them out of jail, paying off their debts, whatever the case may be. The other person is feeling needed, and then, yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Here's kind of the dynamic behind that. So if I am rescuing somebody, and I am giving them all these things that they need or trying to meet their needs, I have power.
Oh.
They need me.
Ah.
And that gives me power.
Boing, that's such an important point.
And codependent people like power and control.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And power and control is the heart of what comes behind domestic violent relationships.
So, right.
If you're needing me, then I can control when I help you and how I help you.
Right.
Because you're depending on me.
Especially if that person controls the money.
Mm-hmm. Or anything. I can control how I'm helping, and you need to be helped.
Right.
Then you're really putting yourself in a mercy of letting someone else have control. And I've watched a lot of relationships go. I've seen relationships with people in church.
Just right.
friends in church where one person was going through a medical issue and someone kind of came in to help. And then that person kind of started trying to take over their life and make decisions for that. And
right.
it became very difficult
right.
for that person once their medical issue was solved and they were getting back on their feet to get stop this cycle.
Right, right. So they quit returning the calls as promptly,
et cetera.
But
then that sets the person in more panic
more
now.
Panic because they are needed.
Right.
They're
and
not needed. Yes.
When you are feeling that need to try and have that power or have that control over someone,
You may be
a codependent. when you feel guilty.
Okay.
When you feel guilty for saying no.
Oh. No is a powerful word, a good word.
And
right?
If you are feeling guilty, that is definitely a sign that you could be a codependent. I noticed a lot of people who struggle with codependency won't say no.
Okay.
Or really struggle saying no. And they believe they need to give excuses and defend
it. And sometimes they lie and come up with something that isn't even right just because they just feel like they have to give a reason why they can't do it.
And they have to do whatever it is somebody is requesting or needing from them. And so
right.
If you're feeling guilty when you say no...
Right.
That's a flag for you to look at.
Okay. You may be a codependent.
You may.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times I notice with codependent people is that they struggle. They don't have a trust in themselves.
Okay.
So they really struggle with, like, making decisions. They're always second-guessing decisions.
The codependent person or the needy person?
The codependent person is a lot of times second-guessing their own decisions.
Okay.
And we'll see where now they have to, like, call... you know, 15 of their closest friends and get this feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not sure about these decisions. And there's like this whole lack of trust in themselves.
Right. And so then if they've got a needy person that they're helping and whatever, and they can give them feedback, they need to talk to that person, right?
They do. And it gives them that attention, which kind of feeds into that recognition, and it keeps that cycle going. And then there's and problems with intimacy in relationships and boundaries. And if you have in relationships that we're having issues with boundaries, we could be having some codependency stuff going on.
Okay, explain that to our listeners. Somebody may not have caught our shows on boundaries, which were the first year, 2014. There's a good series we did.
There is. And in boundaries is just, first of all, it's knowing what I'm responsible for and what I'm not. Boundaries is being able to prioritize where my time and energy and efforts are going. Boundaries is being able to say no when I need to say no. Boundaries is having that freedom in your own relationship and not feeling guilty and not feeling bad about yourself for having these boundaries in our lives.
Right.
And so when we think of boundaries, you know, one of the simplest things we think of is like a fence around our property. And a lot of people fence in their houses because, you know, the kids know whose yard they can play in and what's their yard. And that's what boundaries do for us. It lets us know what's ours to take care of and what's not ours to take care of.
And the problem is when we do set some boundaries that maybe weren't set in the relationship prior, and you've got this whole codependent dynamic going on in some relationship, the other party does not like the boundaries. They get very upset about the boundaries.
It can be very challenging to start setting, and then they will feel more guilty for doing it, and then they'll try and help more to relieve that guilt and make you like me again. And they find themselves in this perpetual cycle.
Wow.
So how do we get out of it?
All right. Before you go to there, I want to invite our listeners, if any of you want to call in, we give you another opportunity. We got the next few minutes here before we get done with this show right around 7. So if you want to call in, it is 727-441-3000 with a question, a comment. Maybe you know a scenario in your life you're dealing with and you want Dr. Angel's perspective on it. Feel free to call in, 727-441-3000, or feel free to text and it'll come directly to my phone right here, 727-888-4171. One more time, 727-888-4171. Those of you listening on Starcom Radio Network will not be able to call in because this is a live show, but you could text us and we will get answers to you. 727-888-4171 is our Google text number. Now, Dr. Angel.
Okay, so
let's talk about
how to overcome this.
What are we going to do?
Noticing that when we have codependent behaviors, we can be very insecure.
Okay.
We usually have a lack of boundaries.
Yeah.
We can be very negative and critical about ourselves. And so one of those things is to start noticing your self-judgments, those negative self-judgments you're making. I hear a lot of, you know, really negative things people will start saying about themselves. And so they feel better when they're helping someone else, which feeds that. So first thing we kind of need to do is start looking at where your negative self-judgments are.
Okay. Yeah.
And challenge those with truth. You know, a lot of times, I'm no good at my job, or I'm a crappy mom, or this. And, you know, and I'll challenge them. Okay, how are you a crappy mom? Tell me about that.
Okay.
What does that look like? And, you know, they can't really describe it because it's most of the time not true. They're humans. They make mistakes. They have a lot of good
qualities. Sure, we all do.
And so looking at what those negative things I'm saying and thinking about myself.
Okay. And challenge them with truth. I love that.
Challenge it
with truth. Write that down, audience, if you're taking notes. Challenge these negative self-judgments with truth and see if you really are that.
So, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I'm just this, you know, crappy worker at my job. I never do my job right. Okay, well, let's talk about what does your job look like? What do you do? How do you do it? Well, you know, and learning that truth of, yeah, you might not be perfect with your job, but I'm sure there's a lot of great things you are doing. And maybe there's some areas you can make improvements. Maybe you're late all the time, or maybe you're struggling with deadlines. Maybe you're struggling with deadlines because you're too busy over here helping everyone
instead
of doing what you need to do.
And so one more time, audience, the reason we look at things like this when we're trying to overcome codependency is we got to see how we got into this trap in the first place. For heaven's sake.
And one of the things that feeds us is negative beliefs about ourselves.
Negative beliefs about ourselves. Write that down. That's so important. So look at that. And you may need to get a counselor to help you go through that.
A counselor, an accountability partner, a friend.
Right.
There's a lot of ways we can get help. But yes, sometimes we do need that extra help. Sometimes we need someone to help us see our own perspective.
Sure. Sure.
You know, because we have felt this and thought this for so long that that's all we can, it's our glasses that we're looking
at.
And so sometimes just finding a trusted friend that, or somebody in our life that can kind of help us see from another perspective.
This would apply to a person who's extremely insecure, right? Also.
Yeah. So if you're struggling with insecurities.
Right.
You're
inferiority.
You're very vulnerable to have codependent behaviors.
Right.
Because self-esteem is built by helping others. So if I don't feel like
self-esteem. Yep.
If I don't feel like I have a lot of worth, I'm going to be more vulnerable into building my worth through rescuing and helping people.
Right. Yeah. And that, you see this in a lot of people that are codependent, that bad self-esteem.
I do. And I see that quite often. And so I like to challenge, like, and I get a lot of blanketed statements, and I like to challenge that. And let's look at that and let's find truth.
Tell us what a blanketed statement would be.
Just like we said, you know, I'm a bad mother, or I'm a bad.
Huge statement.
It's a huge statement. It's this umbrella.
Everything I do, I suck at it. Yep. I'm never good at anything, right?
Very generalizing.
Right. Yeah.
And so start tearing those things apart and looking for the truth in that. And you will probably find you have areas to improve on.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're human.
Right.
And so maybe we'll start seeing how that codependency cycle is kind of holding you back and feeding that negative self-esteem.
Okay. Sounds good.
Remind yourself it is healthy to accept help from others.
Aha.
Codependent people don't accept help from others well.
For themselves.
They want to help everybody else.
They're the fixer for other people.
Yes.
Oh, that is huge. Oh, that is a huge concept right there, because that might help some of our audience realize that they're struggling with this. If you, this one trait right there, very important. If you're one of these that can never receive the help, very hard for you to take help, but you want to help other people all the time.
That is a huge imbalance, and that's a huge flag that, yes, you probably have codependency struggles. And so it is okay to receive help, because what happens, they become those martyrs. I'm giving out
everywhere else,
and now I don't have time to do my responsibilities or clean my
house
or pay
resentment.
My bills. And then we build resentment. And so we need to be able to have, if we give help, we need to be able to receive some help. And there are healthy levels of balance in this.
Yeah, there are.
And so start telling people that you do need help. Use your words. You know, we use it with the little ones, but I use it with my adults all the time. Because we expect people to just read our minds sometimes.
Oh, I know.
Can't they see I have all this going on? Maybe they can't.
You know, that whole concept of use your words, now that I have some younger grandchildren that are learning to talk and, you know, articulate and all that, and preschool, you know, it's interesting. My daughter-in-law uses that concept all the time with her little guys, and it's just use your words. You want to kind of amplify on that one more time for some people who may have never heard that concept? Because it's common now.
It is common. And using our words is just verbalizing and stating with words what we need.
Right.
A lot of times, and I see a lot of adults just expect someone to kind of read their mind in a way.
Okay, let me give you an example. The person that you have been helping and whatever, and they don't call you for a few days, they're trying to get attention of some kind. Or maybe you didn't follow through and do something they expected. Or the teenager who runs up the stairs having a temper tantrum and locks the door and screams and hollers and does all that but won't sit down and talk in a rational way.
True, and that happens. And so
it happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
A temper tantrum of a 2 or 3 year old. Where it's just screaming and crying, but there's no, like, what do you need? What do you need?
Right. And so when we're working with littles, we're trying to teach them.
Littles.
We're teaching them.
Littles.
To
littles.
Use our
That's
words
who they are.
To get what we need. And we need to do that as adults as well.
Very good. I like this concept. This is really good.
We can't expect people to read our mind or just be able to look and see what we need. They may not be able to.
But a lot of times resentment builds when we expect that people can already know what our needs are. Read our mind, if you will. And when they don't, or they don't say, hey, let me go do that for you. Let me go to the store for you. Let me do that. And you're thinking, the codependent person's thinking, why can't they see that I need this done?
Very true. And then they get more frustrated and more aggravated. And more negativity builds up. And so, you know, I work with a lot of, like, you know, working parents, single parents who have jobs and are running a home or things are going on. You know what? Use your words. It's okay to come home and say, you know what? I need help with this. Or because we do need. We're human and we have finite energy, finite time, and it's limited. And so we do need help.
And to the person who's in a marriage where they are the one who is the fixer all the time for the other one and always, you know, or a relationship, maybe not married, but whatever, sit down and talk. Is that what you're saying, doctor?
Exactly.
Use your words.
Use your words. Express what you need.
Express what you need. It's not ever going to change. It's only going to get worse. You're going to stuff it like we talked last week.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you'll blow like a volcano.
Absolutely. And so start accepting help and using your words.
Right.
If you are the person who's codependent, because that will help you. Setting boundaries, first of all, big one. Boundaries is a heart and core of codependency. So learning to what I'm responsible for, what I'm not responsible for, learning to prioritize the time to take care of the needs that I have to take care of. Learning to use that big, bad word, no. Exercise your no muscle.
Whoa, I like that. Oh, we need to ring the bell on that.
And
Exercise your no muscle. Okay, and you know what? The parent out there who says, you know, my kid is doing drugs or doing things they shouldn't be doing, and I've bailed him out twice, but I just can't let him sit in jail. Go back to your concept from last week. No pain.
No pain, no gain. You know what? Pain brings change.
Pain brings change. And guys, it is not wrong, parents out there or family members or spouses, to allow somebody to reap their consequences. We've been saying that this whole show. If there's one thing we need to really get across, it's that concept. Don't you think? We're going to break codependency.
Absolutely.
It
starts in a lot of small things.
Like?
For example, I give a great example. I had a child last night who had to do a whole PowerPoint project, except he waited till the night before it was due to start on it. And then he's like, Mom, I need help and I don't know. And I'm like, you waited on this. You need to figure it out. And he was up till I think around 2 a.m. and he had to be at school at 7 this morning. But you know what?
Good for you, Mom.
It was letting him reap what he sowed. He didn't prioritize his time.
Yes.
He didn't get bailed out. And as a parent with my kids when they were little, I always told him, if you ever go to jail, don't waste your phone call on me.
Right.
Because I'm not bailing you out.
Right.
Because I need you to learn that our choices have consequences.
And, you know, that is such a huge point that I think maybe some of our listeners need to be telling the needy people in your lives, the addicts, the people that are messing up, whatever, the people that the kids that are not doing their schoolwork, whatever. Hey, this is on you.
It is.
Sit down and have that talk if you're going to overcome codependency. Otherwise, it's too easy. It's a slippery slide. Been there, done that. And that's how come I can talk about it. Okay? Back years ago with a family member, drug addiction. And it is a slippery slide to try to fix them, quote unquote.
Yes, it is.
And I can tell you, it does not work.
It's exhausting, and you're right.
It wears you out. It costs you a lot of money.
Energy, time, relationships, all kinds, heartache.
All kinds of things, yes.
You know, when it, you bring up a good point. You know, I can recall, you know, going out and having lunch with someone who was definitely a codependent person, and they'll take every phone call that comes in their phone, and if somebody's in a crisis, they will drop our lunch meeting and go running to take care of that person's crisis. And so it can be very frustrating to be in relationships with people who struggle with codependency because we can't count on them.
Right.
Because they're needing to be needed. So if there's a need, they're on the run to go meet that
need. To go meet it. Right. Absolutely.
So getting over this, understand what you do control and understand what you don't control. So we want to give up the things we don't control.
So what we do and what we don't control. Don't you think that's kind of hard sometimes to
it's hard to
do that?
It is hard. So what do I control, Dr. Angel?
Yeah.
I can control myself.
Right.
I can control my thoughts, my attitudes, my behaviors, and my successes. That's what I control. What I do not control are the attitudes and behaviors and successes of another human being.
Exactly.
Even if that human is my child.
Oh, my gosh. But it's when it's your child, Dr. Angel. I have been there. Let me tell you. You know, I have been there. I have been there where it is. It's such a life-changing moment for the child. It's going to make or break them. And the parent, the grandparent, the family members want so much to help and turn that person around that they go to extremes. I've done some really crazy things years ago, and I don't mean bad things, good things, to bail a family member out. Literally, not bail them out of jail, but I mean bail them out of the situation. And it really did come back and smack me in the face every single time.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what happens. And so part of learning our boundaries is first learning what I control and what I don't control.
Yeah.
And I never will control another human being. I control myself.
Exactly.
And so accept that and embrace it.
Exactly. Yes.
It'll save you so much frustration and heartache at the end of the day.
Right.
Break through the denial. So take a look at your relationships. If you're seeing any
break
of
through
these,
the denial,
because
like
codependency is fed by denying that there's these problems.
That's right.
And we can't change what we don't acknowledge.
Right.
And so really take honest looks at your relationship. Do I see some of these flags? Am I rescuing them? Am I feeling frustrated because I'm always giving all this into this and it's not feeling balanced?
Right.
Look at that. What is going on? Because denial is going to keep feeding this negative pattern, and we want to be healthy. And this, there is nothing healthy in this codependency relationship.
But a lot of times, in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, the codependent person wants to save face with the family, the coworkers, everybody around. They don't want anybody to know that their marriage is this bad or the child is in jail or the child is an addict or whatever the case may be. So it's better to put on a happy face and just keep on paying for the other person's mistakes. Do you know what I'm saying?
True.
That's how they think, in
my
opinion.
They do. But the problem is the more we rescue, we're not helping the person who needs help. We're hurting them. And actually, we're stopping them from being able to get to the point where they're willing to take that help.
Yeah.
You know, and every person has their limits. Some people I've watched, you know, get on an addiction slope and really quickly start feeling some of their pains and really realize this is not what I want and I want to do. And I've watched people hit hardcore rock bottoms and still struggling to see that they need help. And so everyone kind of has their own threshold of where they're willing
to go. I've seen people, addicts, doing this 25, 30 years still and still not seeming to ever learn the lesson.
But denying that this is there, denying that we have this problem. I'm not saying you have to go rent a billboard and tell everybody, you know, my child's a drug addict. But what I am telling you is we need to acknowledge that there is a problem.
Right. And
and where I am on this problem cycle.
Stop that hamster wheel going around, rescuing. Again, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity. But it's very common with codependents, don't you think?
It is, because it's fear-based.
It's fear-based. What happens if they die? Okay?
It's fear and guilt based, and it's over-responsibility.
Right.
And yeah, that would be really
horrible.
The truth of it is, it's their choices.
Yes.
I still don't have power and control over that. I can't stop it.
Right.
And so just taking those honest looks at our relationships.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to detach from relationships until we can learn to build our own boundaries. Sometimes we kind of have to take a step back. So while we're working on these skills.
Right.
Because they're just feeding toxic, and when they're used to the cycle, it's really hard to stop it.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's better to just, not see this person as often or not take their calls as often.
Yes.
You're going to have to set the boundaries.
You know, and it's okay to leave your phone off. It's okay not to answer it in the moment. It's okay to go to lunch with a friend and let your phone go to the side.
Exactly.
You know, technology has just made us on the leash.
Ugh.
And when you're codependent, that's a bad leash. It's a short leash because you feel this urgency. I have to take everyone's call. This is an emergency.
Oh,
everything's an emergency.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what I tell people? I am not 911.
Right.
So that's an emergency.
I saw something on Facebook. I think it was earlier today or something that said, could you totally unplug for 3 months? I mean, get rid of your phone or, you know, not have your phone off, not have Wi-Fi, not have anything whatsoever like that. Communication-wise, for 3 months. And the chances of people in this society in this day being able to do that would be very slim.
Very slim, because it has become, well, technology's become an addiction as
it
well.
It has,
and
absolutely.
And it feeds these relationship addictions.
Oh, my gosh. And look at our time.
I know. And I just want to make one more quick
point.
First, learn healthy self-care. If you're a codependent, learn to start taking care of yourself.
That's good.
Take care of yourself. That's something that's neglected, and you need to start taking your self-care.
Maybe we'll start there next week, because I like that whole thing. Learn healthy self-care. But we are not done with this addiction series, Doctor.
No, we are not.
We are not. We've got so much more to say. We'd love to hear from you with your questions, especially for our Q&A shows.
Yes.
So send them in and use our email address for that, because most of you write a lengthy stuff. So goyard2014@gmail.com is our email address. Text number 727-888-4171. And we really want our audience to ask the questions so we can answer. A final thought, Doctor?
A final thought, I just want to make sure that if you're starting to see these flags, don't take it on as shame. Take it on as power. Information is power. Look at it as, this is a way I can start improving an area of my life.
Right.
A lot of people fall in this trap, and it's the trap of, this codependency things, and it happens from a lot of reasons, but don't look at it as, oh my gosh, I feel bashed.
Terrible. Oh my gosh. Am I crazy? No, it's not like that.
Dr. Angel just gave me a flashlight, and now I can do something about it.
That's it. Right. Don't take it as condemnation. All right. Great show. We'll go on with part 4 next week of All About Addiction. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac with Go Yard right here this week. We hope to see you next week on the air. And tell a friend about our show and listen this Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. See you next week.
Good night.
We're in so I got a new lease on life. You see, you only live once, but I live twice. I got a new lease on life. I got a new lease on life.